This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We typically talk to him on Thursday evenings at 7:05, but we talked to him this week at 7:05 on a Friday because the Vikings were playing last night. And look, we're just going to recap it. We'll get his perspective and take on it. Matthew Collar, Purple Insider, joining us here courtesy of the John Chutakoa Banker Hotline. Where do we begin? I guess just in general, what were your thoughts on that performance last night from the Minnesota Vikings? Because they got dominated on both sides of the football.
Yeah, I mean, I think that disaster is a pretty fine word to use because, as you said, it really wasn't any phase of the game where you could even point to and say, hey, good job. I mean, even the kick returning where they got a penalty on almost every single kick return. They couldn't block. They couldn't run. They couldn't pass. They couldn't stop the run. They couldn't stop Justin Herbert. I mean, it was total domination. And, you know, if that was the Chargers week one when they had their full team and they were playing really well, you might understand it to some extent because Herbert is a really great quarterback. But this is a Chargers team that had not been playing well over their last couple of games. And, you know, they got one player back, but they've been banged up quite a bit. They've been struggling quite a bit. And to just completely blow the doors off of this Vikings team was very shocking. I mean, at least with the losses that they've had this year, you know, the Atlanta game was pretty rough, but the other two recent losses with Wentz under center, they were competitive. I mean, you know, it came down to the final drive against Pittsburgh overseas and then against Philadelphia. At least they had a chance to maybe get a stop and stay in that game. This was non-competitive. It was a complete no-show, and it leaves you in a place saying, I think it's fair to just declare this team at this moment to be a bad NFL team. I mean, they are in 12th place in the NFC. They have only led for, I believe, six quarters all season long. They've played 28, and they've only been leading at the end of six of those. I mean, look at the numbers. This team on both sides has really no argument for being any sort of contending team.
I agree with you 100%. And let me tell you how bad this loss was last night. This loss was so bad that today, on every single platform, every single station that was talking about the Vikings or Thursday Night Football, we're getting Viking fans that are being critical of Kevin O'Connell. Like, Kevin O'Connell seems to be, and because I think he's done a really good job as the head coach of this organization, but for the first time, I really felt like this was a game in which Viking fans were so ticked off at what they saw across the board that they're like, KOC, man, what gives?
Well, I also think that this is something we really haven't seen from a Kevin O'Connell team, was a absolute no-show against a mediocre team. Now, there have been other losses, of course. You know, we've seen them lose to the Los Angeles Rams and get out coach, but the Rams are really good. We saw them lose and no-show against Detroit. Detroit's really good. Even if you go back to, say, 2022, the game against the Dallas Cowboys where they got blown out, that Cowboys team, I believe, led the NFL in points that year. So, all right, there was all of a reason, and they had just come off of a really emotional win. There was no explanation for this. I mean, going into this game, the Chargers, I think, were 3.5-point favorites. It's not like they were expected to get smashed in this game. To no-show like that, I think you have to start wondering, okay, is everybody getting the message? And the other thing is, too, that this has reminded me a lot of 2023, where they leaned into passing with Josh Dobbs and with Nick Mullins, and they lost games, and they couldn't really run the football. And they go out this offseason, and they say, well, we're drafting a guard. We're getting another guard. We're going to run with Jordan Mason. We're going to invest a lot to bring Aaron Jones back. And then here you are, third down and one, and you try a rollout with Carson Wentz, who's injured, and it fails. And just like, well, you know, sometimes when the Tiger's not changing his stripes, you are going to get criticism for making the same mistakes time and time and time again. And as that game was playing out, here's Carson Wentz dropping back to pass over and over and over. And I know you're losing, but it's still the same sort of feeling of this guy in his current state can't do this. And yet you're asking him to do it. I don't think that that's really what anyone expected. At the same time, there are realities of being saddled with a backup quarterback because your starter is injured, saddled with two backup tackles. I think on the defensive side, that's even more or maybe twice as concerning that they spent all this money, they brought back all these players, they signed all these new players, and they made some Brian Flores bets. And these good quarterbacks have had no problem shredding them, not just beating them, but making them look like they're not even there, which it was last night. And so, I think with O'Connell, we all know, all right, Darisaw's got to play. McCarthy's got to play. You're probably not going to have a chance without your starting quarterback or starting left or right tackle. But when you go to that defensive side, I think that that's disturbing that they would put a defense out with expectations of being elite. And now, I mean, they're just one of the worst defenses in the NFL.
I'm with you, and that's where I want to go next. What is going on with the whole Javon Hargrave situation? Like, when you look at the signings that they had and additions, what's going on there? And then also, Jonathan Allen just seems to be, I don't know if he's lost a step all of a sudden, but what do you make of those performances?
Well, I think the whole idea of getting Javon Hargrave and Jonathan Allen was last year there were games where they were ahead and they were trying to close out and they've got, you know, Bullard and Tillery and Phillips out there. They can't pressure the quarterback at all. So I think what they wanted to do was be able to rush with four in those situations. And that logic made sense that, you know, Allen and Hargrave have prolific careers as interior pass rushers. But when you're losing all the time, which they have been all year long, those guys really can't do what they do best. And I was looking into this the other day. The Vikings, before this game, had faced the second fewest pass attempts in the entire league because teams have just been ahead on them, and they've had no problem running. So they're throwing 20 passes a game. But that doesn't really maximize those two guys. At the same time, it's a little bit mysterious to me that a lot are underperforming across the board. And that makes you wonder, is it more than just, hey, every guy regressed, every guy failed to develop or take a next step or whatever it was? Or is it the fact that, you know, it looks like some good offenses just don't have a problem picking apart what this defense is selling now and that they're not getting to the quarterback the same way they were? They're not confusing quarterbacks the same way they were. Like, have they been identified for some of the stuff that they're doing? So, yeah, I mean, look, those signings look very bad right now, but also every move looks really bad right now, which is why you wonder if there's something that's bigger than just, hey, the front office and coaching staff built this roster completely wrong. It's hard to believe that so many players could struggle at the same time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Matthew Collar joining us here, courtesy of the John Shuster-Cola Banker Hotline from Purple Insider. I want to ask you about J.J. McCarthy. First off, do you expect or do we expect to see him the next time that the Minnesota Vikings suited up against Detroit?
100% yes. He is going to be starting against the Detroit Lions unless he has another injury with the ankle. No question about it. And I asked O'Connell, you know, how do you ask your offense to improve while bringing in a quarterback who's so inexperienced and you're trying to get to take the next step? And I can't say that I took a lot from the answer other than just, you know, they needed to do some of the same things that they did against Cleveland or Philadelphia when they moved the ball okay. But I wouldn't even say that those were good games. And I think that's the concern, is that, you know, the offense hasn't been good at any point this year, not even remotely good. And the games that even he's citing were not good for the offense. And now J.J. McCarthy has to come back. Oh, by the way, beat Detroit, who I think has an excellent argument as the best team in the entire NFL.
Agreed.
Not the situation that they wanted to be in, but you know what? To me, this is not this whole season now from here on is not about wins and losses. They can lose by 20 points, but if J.J. McCarthy shows progress and looks good, then that's good for them because the idea of them being competitive to me was lost last night.
How much confidence do you have or do you think that Vikings fans should have in Kevin O'Connell developing J.J. McCarthy?
Yeah, it's funny because if you had asked that at the beginning of the season, you would have said extreme confidence. And I think that we shouldn't be total prisoners of the moment and start saying that you don't believe in Kevin O'Connell's ability to get to quarterbacks and stuff. I mean, he did just win 14 games last year. So, you know, we don't have to go completely off our rockers because Carson Wentz behind two backup tackles was really bad. I think that under the very right circumstances, Kevin O'Connell can get great quarterback play. And what I mean is you really have to be able to block and you have to have time for the quarterback to throw downfield. And I think that if J.J. McCarthy has that, that he's going to do extremely well because he's really good at intermediate throwing. 15 to 25 yards down the field. He's got a very, very strong arm. I think that when, you know, receivers are open in those areas, he's excellent at getting them the ball. But I also think that there are some things about O'Connell's offense that you just have to continue to ask. One of them is, can you stay with a quick game? And the answer has been no. Like, even at times where they've done it, and then it's just been like, no, now we're going back to the downfield stuff and the quarterback gets sacked and so forth. And we've just seen Kirk Cousins played with broken ribs 2023, got hurt in 2022, and then 2023 got hurt. And then Darnold played with injuries all last year, took more hits than almost any other quarterback in the league. Carson Wentz gets in there, and he looks like Homer Simpson versus Dredrick Tatum just getting beaten down. And then, you know, and then J.J. McCarthy's hurt. So, like, now you start to wonder about a trend there with quarterbacks in this offense, and like, do you have to hold on to the ball for a long time to make it work? And that feels like what it's been. So I think they need a significant adjustment there with McCarthy coming back in, but I also think that O'Connell's offense is going to be O'Connell's offense, and McCarthy should strap himself up with a rib protector.
I'm not off the bandwagon of Kevin O'Connell. I do believe in Kevin O'Connell, but I do legitimately, and we started the show with this, I have questions about whether he is indeed the quarterback whisperer that we have been led to believe. And the reason why I say that is because the track record doesn't say and scream that he is a developer of young quarterbacks, of rookie quarterbacks, of guys that are handed or that just come into the league and are handed off to Kevin O'Connell. If you look at those guys that he's had success with, they're vets. Like, they're vets. They're guys that have been in the league for a few years. I went going back to 2015 and starting with Johnny Manziel, and we know how that played out, and we know that was Johnny just sabotaging his own career, but working it all the way through to Kirk Cousins, who was previously here, and even going looking at Sam Darnold last year. It's been guys that have been in the league a few years, and they were handed off to him.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, I've had the same thought myself just about the sheer amount of volume of plays, of motions, formations. And he said it before. He said, hey, this offense has, you know, more formations than probably any other offense in the NFL. And my thought is, well, that's great if Sam Darnold's running it, because Sam Darnold's been in the NFL for a long time now. And I would say the same thing for Kirk Cousins, who really, I think he told us he took about half the year in 2022 to really understand what O'Connell was getting at, and it wasn't until the beginning of 2023 where he seemed to fully master it. I mean, look, I mean to make it sound like, you know, advanced calculus or something. If you're a quarterback, you can have success with this. We've seen, you know, the growth of even someone like Matthew Stafford, who's a better quarterback now than he's ever been, and he won the Super Bowl with that same system. It's that, you know, McVay offense that they invented in 2021 for Stafford, but that's also Matthew Stafford. And as you said, he's been around for a very long time. And I also think that what needs to be pointed out is that Stafford in 2021, where this offense was really rooted, they ranked number one by PFF in pass blocking grade. And if you can't block, I mean, look, it's always hard if you can't block, right? Mm-hmm. No one is great. So I don't want to make it sound like it's ever that easy. But with this, it's total destruction if you can't block. I mean, I watch Kyle Shanahan dial up these swing passes to Christian McCaffrey time and time and time again with his offensive line injured, and I think, well, it's not impossible. It's certainly not easy, but it's not impossible. And then I'm watching Wentz just get hit time and time again last night when we already knew he was injured. And, yeah, so for a young quarterback, a huge volume and an offense where you have to wait till the receivers are breaking open downfield and time it out perfectly, it's hard. When it works, man, it works.
Yeah.
But it's not easy. It's just not easy to do.
All right, we got a minute left. I want to end on this. Because last night I saw the end of a career. And the next phase at the end of this career is, in my opinion, Canton and the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But it's over for Harrison Smith. It just, like, he got trucked a couple times. And I'm not trying to say that he's just playing poorly or anything like that, whatever. But, like, man, Father Time is undefeated. You could just tell that he's a step slow now. Just kind of your thoughts on just kind of watching him maybe the last – few games and where we're at with Harrison Smith.
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, there's still a long season to go here, and he's still ramping up from the health issue in the offseason, which was not ideal for him. I agree, though. I mean, every player of all time has gotten to a point where they couldn't be the same version of themselves, and I thought he had a really good 2024 on a great defense.
Agreed.
And with a guy like him who is an absolute football psycho, and I mean that in the most complimentary way, it's really, really hard to walk away. But I also think that Harrison Smith, under the circumstances where they had a good defense around him, I think would have been fine to fit in. And it might have been a little bit different with him rotating or something like that. But once again, they're sort of asking Harrison to be Harrison Smith of 5 years ago with this defense. And that's really hard to do. So it is tough. There is, you know, the rest of the season, and we'll see how it plays out with this defense if they get it turned around. But I have felt the same way. But I would just point out that Blake Cashman hasn't been as good. You know, I mean, there's a very few players who have been on this defense. So I think that they need a lot of schematic adjustment to go along with the players, you know, stepping up. But I have wondered about that when you see a lot of players regressing.
Yeah. Talk to you next week, Matthew.
Thanks, Henry.
All right, appreciate it. That's Matthew Collar. Check out his fine work at the Purple Insider.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.